Hi everyone and welcome to Day 10 for Torah number 959. I hope you all are well. Any questions, comments, suggestions, recommendations, or sponsorships, please email me at rabbiismach@take10fortorah.org. And what I'd like to do today, hopefully in 10 minutes, and if I can't finish today, I'll do it tomorrow as well, is do a quick run-through of Maggid. You know, one of the things that we really are busy with is going through the Maggid section of the Haggadah, and a lot of people are a little bit confused as to why, what goes where, and what's the sequence, and what's the continuity. So I'm going to try to start in the remaining time that we have, and see as much as we can do. So Maggid technically begins with Halach Ma'anya. Halach Ma'anya is a paragraph which actually doesn't really relate. It's a nice summary of what's going on. It's the bread of affliction. Anybody wants to come in. It, if you think about it, really relates more to Yachatz. Yachatz, we just broke the matzah. We're saving some for later. Halach Ma'anya, this is the bread of affliction, referring to the matzah that we just broke, and we're inviting everybody for the meal as this part of the early stage of the Seder. So we actually wait till after Halach Ma'anya to fill up the wine, and that seems to indicate that we fill up the wine for the Maggid section, and this might not yet be the Maggid section. So, of course, everybody has what to say on this paragraph, why it's in Aramaic, why it asks for what it asks for, why you ask to invite people over so late in the game, but you'll have to get those Divrei Torah elsewhere. Okay, we move on to Manishtana is the four questions, famous four questions. The Mishnah says, V'kan haben shoel, you pour the second cup, and now anybody's going to ask questions. And if ein das beben, the Mishnah says, if the kid doesn't really know how to ask, kid can't figure out that something's off tonight, so you aviv malamdo, the father teaches him the Manishtana. The Manishtana is really the questions for the kid who can't figure anything out. The Gemara even discusses that if a kid asks their own questions, patrasomi lomar Manishtana, some suggest that you don't have to say Manishtana because the goal of Manishtana is just one very simple question. It manifests in four examples, but it's really just one question. Why is this night different from all other nights? What's going on here? What is so special? And so the real four questions aren't four questions, it's one question with four examples of how it's different, and we give each of these four examples. And each of these changed over the course of time based on how our behaviors change over the course of history. Leaning used to be a thing, so it wasn't strange. Roasting meat used to be strange, we don't do that anymore, and that's why it fell out and leaning came in. Okay, we begin with the answer. Now, as it's known, there are really two answers to the question. Rav and Shmuel suggest two different stories should be told. You're supposed to start with the bad and end with the good. There's much more drama when you start with the bad and end with the good. There's more of an appreciation of the good when you start with the bad. And so we begin with Shmuel's opinion of Avadim Hayinu L'Parah B'Mitzrayim. We were once slaves. And not only were we once slaves, but thankfully God took us out. That's the good. Had God not taken us out, we say, we would still be enslaved. Now that's a line that really needs explanation. What does that mean, we would still be enslaved? Egypt would have gone through many, many different leaders, and we probably wouldn't have been enslaved. So what does that mean? But then it goes on to, afilu kulanu chachamim, kulanu nevonim, kulanu zekenim. Even if we know everything already, we have to understand, we still have to talk about this. V'chol hamarbe l'saper harizem mishubach. We have to talk about this as knowledgeable as we are, as wise as we are, and the more you talk about it, the better. It seems that this is not just informational, it's inspirational. And so, because this night is not just about learning something, it's about reviewing and reinforcing something, so it's not just how much do you know already, it's more specific to spending one night a year focused on this topic. And to make that point, so the continued paragraph is Masab Rabbi Lezer, Rabbi Shob, Rabbi Lezman, Azari, Rabbi Kiva, Rabbi Tarfon, five rabbis are sending him Bnei Brak. And not only are they sitting in Bnei Brak, but they're still talking about it, and they're talking about it all night, and the students have to come in and say, it's time for Shema. Now, this paragraph is interesting, because these five rabbis actually were either Kohanim, Leviim, or converts, which means that their forefathers were not actually enslaved. So not only is it reinforcing the point that we just made, that you have to be, even if you're a very wise person, you have to go and be busy with Yetzias Mitzrayim and talk about this, but also this was not part of their personal history. This was their national history, and we still see how in-depth they discuss and how long they discuss this for. And then finally it ends that they had to go and say the Shema. The students said, now this is not a coincidence. All night they're busy with the one unique mitzvah, which comes one time a year, the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, really telling over the story with props and doing it with question and answer with the children, the whole kit and caboodle. then the students knock on the door and say it's time for Shema. What's Shema? Shema is representative of the mitzvah of Zechira Sitzias. I'm sorry. Just remembering the day in, day out, remembering in the morning, then remembering at night. A paragraph that we're going to get to much later in the Haggadah, which reinforces that we need to do that. But what they do is they transition from the nighttime, where they're really all busy with that very unique mitzvah once a year, and then they move into the daytime Shema, which is just, we're just back to mentioning it, not back to studying it. Then we talk about Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. I actually meant that this is going to come much later, but it's the next paragraph. I'm Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah said, this is the famous Mishnah in Maseches Brachos, where we talk about whether or not we are supposed to learn from Kol Yemei Chayecha. Not only should we remember Egypt, the days of your life, but all the days of your life. Machlokas about whether or not it's supposed to be Kol, to emphasize also nights, or also Limos HaMashiach. And it's a very interesting discussion as to what that would mean, Limos HaMashiach. Why would it still be relevant to be talking about, you know, sort of yesterday's salvation? But it's because yesterday's salvation, Limos HaMashiach, would still be the template and the basic understanding of all of our theology comes from Yetziat Mitzrayim, which would be why you would still remember it being Moshe Mashiach. Haggadah then transitions into another section. Baruch HaMakom, Baruch Hu, Baruch Shalasantar Lamo Yisrael, Baruch Hu. A bunch of Baruchs, which is interesting, a lot of Divrei Torah on this. And then it tells us there's four Baruchs we're so grateful for. There are four children. And now these four children, of course, there aren't literally four children. People say you could have 8, you could have 10, you could have 3, you could have 2, you could have 0. But what are the four children about? The four children are about four different times in the Torah that it addresses how there will be a night where you will discuss this topic of Yetzias Mitzrayim with your kids. Sometimes it phrases that conversation as your kid will ask you the following and you'll tell him this. Sometimes it says, just tell your kid as follows. And so depending on how the interaction goes in the Torah, so we have these four different possible situations of how the conversation can go. The Chacham, he's asking a wise question, giving him a wise answer. The Rasha is being really annoying, and so therefore you're giving him somewhat of a more cynical answer. The Tam is not really asking much at all, and so you just tell him basically things, and the Shani the Elishal, who I find to be the most captivating of the children, Shani the Elishal is the one who doesn't know to ask, not due to a lack of sophistication. I always believe it's because of a lack of interest, and that's probably the most common child at our table, and adult at our table as well. And there it says, at pesachlo, and you have to initiate, you have to engage the kid, you have to get the kid interested, which is the greatest challenge. Of course, we've noticed the multitude of fours, right? The four cups, the four questions, the four sons. There are a lot of fours, and the question is why four? So there might be a lot of reasons, but one reason you might want to think about is, you know, there are four times that we have to go and bench Gomel. We have to say the Brichas HaGomel. We talked about this in the Take Tens a long time ago. That there are four times we would bring the Karban Toda. You would go to the Beis HaMikdash and bring a gratitude Karban in four different situations. Those situations would be if you crossed a desert, crossed a sea, got out of jail, and if you were sick and you got out of the hospital or something, there was some sort of health threat. So these ideas, these four possible threats, many say, all were the types of things that we had salvation from in the story of Yetziat Mitzrayim. That being the case, because we had salvation from all of those things, so those four gratitudes are expressed in all of these for the four questions and the four cups and the four sons and all the other fours that happen to come up throughout the night. And there's definitely what to talk about with each of the sons. I think everybody probably has a plethora of Divrei Torah already on those. And then we have this paragraph of Yochel Mirosh Chodesh. I spoke about this a couple of weeks. A theory that Yochel Mirosh Chodesh is really a continuation of the paragraph of the She'enu Yidei Lishal. But we would have thought that you started on Rosh Chodesh to talk about this stuff, but no, you have to talk about this B'shoshi Mish Matzah U'Maror Munachim Lefanecha. You have to talk about it when specifically you have the props before you, when your children, when those who you were trying to express these ideas to see you actually doing it. That's the most important part. Metchila of the Avodah Zarah, then the paragraph goes on to tell us, Metchila of the Avodah Zarah, once upon a time we were pagans, we were idol worshippers. And this is the opinion of Rav. Rav is the one who says this is the story we should be telling. Mascha b'gnus, masayim b'shvach, we start with the bad, and we end with the good. And that bad is our pagan origins. Avram Avinu came from a family of pagans. And so we were educated, we were theologically educated through the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim, and we're so happy for that. The next paragraph begins, Baruch Shomer Haftachaso Yisrael. thank God who kept his promises to the Jewish people. And that comes up because we were just talking about the promise that Abraham was made and that Abraham was saved. We talk about that in more specific terms. And then we get to this paragraph of Vihisha Amda. Vihisha Amda is this discussion about that this promise has lasted us through all these generations. Not only has, I mean, really the focus is the promise, and that promise is worth singing over. But in there it says, Shebechol Davidar Omdim Aleinu L'chal Oseinu. It's not such a happy line that in every generation they've tried to destroy us, but here we're focused on the promise. We're focused on the promise of salvation, the promise that we will rise against any sort of anti-Semitism. And the next paragraph, Tseu Lamad, once we're talking about the threats, we're going to discuss the threat that came with Lavan originally, and then the threat of Paro, and compare and contrast the two, and we will continue with this section tomorrow.